This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Oh, but it is what it is.
Oh,
are we on?
We are.
You're supposed to say, hey, Joe, start talking.
Hey, Joe, start talking.
One thing about Dave, he takes good direction. That's really good. Hey, this is the Team Martech Hour. Okay, folks, now, this is a class. We're doing educational hour here today. You got Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martech, financial advisor, and Dave.
David Francoeur.
That's it, Francoeur.
Yeah, but give me a title.
I am a production assistant here.
Production assistant. I like that. That's really good. Now, Dave's kind of new to the station. You've been working about a month now, haven't
about
you?
About a month, yes, sir.
So, because I never pick on anybody, I will definitely have to pick on you. So, tell me, where you're from, how long in Florida, kids, wives?
Born in Maine in 1950, moved 1955 to Central Florida. Met my wife in community college back in 1968.
Wow.
Got married in 71. We have one daughter, Kristen, who is now living with her husband in London, England.
Wow. Wow. That's got to be slick. You ever go over and visit?
Not yet. They just moved, so we're giving them time.
Give them time. Well, that's, you know, well, you've been to England, have you, Vince?
Yes, I have.
See, I never have, and I've often, we want to take this trip, fly into London, spend a day or two, because then they take all your money, because it's not cheap living, being in London.
No, but it's a beautiful city. You should spend more than a day or two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then I want to take the Channel over
Channel's
to,
great. Oh,
over
go,
to Paris.
Over to Paris.
Let them take the rest of the money I have left, and then rent a car, which I did years ago. I did a car from Spain, Barcelona, Spain, all the way to Italy, did the south coast of France, which was magnificent. People were wonderful. Everything about the trip was good. I loved every minute of it. It was good. I digress, however.
Oh, you're digressing.
All right, class, here's what happens. You write this phone number down, keep it next to the phone, because we got people here to answer your questions. 1-888-221-8990. Now, that's a toll-free number from any place. 1-888-221-8990. You think that's toll-free from the Bahamas?
Oh, I imagine.
Someone might want to try that.
Yes, because I heard the show in the Bahamas.
You didn't call in?
I didn't call in. I should have.
You should have.
But then I'm on my cell phone. They charge you $2.50 a minute.
Ooh.
You know, so I could see time.
Even for a toll-free call.
I'm guessing, you know, because it's the cost to get out of, you know, for the toll-free number.
You sign a promissory note when you're first born before you get out of there.
Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. Team Martech started doing radio shows back in around 2004 before Hurricanes Francis and Jean. We're using that as our official start date because none of us can remember exactly when it was, but we know we were doing them then. And the concept was simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, securities principal, which means lots of licenses. But there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. So what happens is clients would ask me questions about taxes or insurance or some legal questions or real estate questions or mortgage questions, and there's no way in the world I could know them. So in my not too humble opinion, credible professionals align themselves with other credible professionals to do the right thing for their clients. So at the beginning, I met Dan Warren, who's an independent insurance agent, and that was the big word, independent. It was a critical word, because those of you who have lived in Florida since Hurricane Andrew hit, which is back in 92, that hurricane put a half a dozen or a dozen insurance companies out of business. Then the companies that were captive, the oftentimes their home offices came back and said, whoop, we need to get rid of half the business. We have too much exposure, or we're going to double or triple the rates. And now you, the agent, were guilt by association, and they didn't like you anymore either. And I don't, you can't blame people. So the independent doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and he may have 10, 20, or 30 companies. Dan happens to be, in my opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. He's got pushing 100 companies under his umbrella, and you don't have that without having a monster book of business and doing a good job for people.
And he's just an extremely nice guy too, Joe. He's very knowledgeable. He's a nice man.
He's a good person.
He's helped me and many of my clients.
Yep. He's done a magnificent job for just about everybody that we can talk to, except for me, of course, because my driving record is so abysmal.
things you can do nothing with.
His girl said, Joe, please, please, please don't have any more, get any more tickets or accidents, please. It's not when your agent begs you.
Well, when you're driving around in a fancy sports car, you're going to draw attention.
It's not that fancy, you know. Red Mustang convertible. That's my male mental pause car.
Oh, that is?
You've heard of that before. Male mental pause?
I'm going through it right now.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Is that when you don't think?
Well,
you mentally pause?
It's just about it. It's called, why would you have such a stupid car? Because I can.
That's not a stupid car. It's actually a very nice car.
It's a nice car, but, you know, it definitely is not what you call, they call it a back seat. They don't mean that. It's a bench in the back. You put stuff. But, boy, people, if you can get somebody in there, they can't even get their feet on the floor.
It's really a two-seater.
But anyway, it's a cute car. I'm happy with it. So
everybody I know owns one is very pleased
with it. 1-888-221-8990. Then Greg Fasula, attorney. He became the next member of the group. Why? Well, one of the first things I do when I meet a new suspect or prospect is ask them if they're ready to die. Now, if Greg was sitting here, attorney, he'd say, Joe, you're not supposed to say it that way.
That's right.
You're supposed to say, have you done your estate planning? Then I've had people say, estate? I don't have an estate. I got a single wide trailer. I said, that is your estate. You know, I mean, that's it. So
a box of baseball cards could be your estate too.
You might have a pack of gum that might be your estate. But the bottom line is, whatever possessions you have, that's your estate. Now, estate planning means have a will or a trust. I mean, really, that's it. And secondarily, if you have some things, you should have an idea what to do with those things. And if you have investments, you should have some working knowledge of how your investments work. And that's where a guy like Joe Martek comes in handy. So we started off with Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, and then Vince Rosino, CPA. Took me a long, long time to find the CPA that I wanted. Now, you have to understand, it's not that I'm picky. I'm just extremely picky.
Uh-huh.
I wanted somebody not new in business. I wanted somebody that had integrity, credibility, 20 years in business at least, good credentials, and not a competitor. Because I've seen CPAs that also pretend they're financial advisors, and they don't always, in my not too humble opinion, do the right job for people. Because now they've got to wear multiple hats, and it's not easy wearing all of these hats.
It's difficult. I did it for a while, Joe.
You know what I'm talking
about? 15 years ago, I did it. Because a lot of the brokerage companies were trying to solicit CPAs.
Exactly.
They wanted them because they wanted to get at their client base.
Of course. And that was the whole concept. CPAs have all these clients that are doing taxes. They know exactly what they've got and what they don't have. So that was called, quote, easy pickings, which aggravates me again, that it was kind of, you know.
Yeah, but you know what happened to most of them? Unless they devoted time to it, they went through their client book of business, and that was it. Because, you'll get whatever you get from your existing clients.
Yeah.
If you don't grow it, market it, and do all the things you need to do like what you do.
Yep, yep.
It's not going anywhere.
Well, anyway, so that
you can't make a lot of money at it that way.
Well, point was, it's hard. What you do as a CPA is very complicated, very time consuming. It's education oriented. It's not easy. It never was designed to be easy. Well, it's the same thing if you're a financial advisor with multiple licenses. And I'm not talking that I can just go out and sell one thing or another. But when you've got a series of multiple licenses, you have continuing education constantly, you have to stay on top of what's going on. There's probably conservatively 30,000 different investments out there, and there's no way in the world any one person can know all of them, but you need to know what is happening in today's marketplace. So that was how we started. Vince became critical because probably I would say at least twice a month I call Vince with something. You think after 20 some years we know it all, but we sure don't.
Never ask me anything easy, John.
Of course,
time you ask me something, I got to go research.
Well, if it was easy, I'd know it.
That is true.
I mean, that was. Well, and what's the other saying? I love this one. Everything's easy once you know it.
That is true. That's true also.
The process of learning can be a bit of a problem. So then, all of a sudden, the debacle of real estate and mortgages hit with this last recession. So we then added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who I've known since 1980, give or take, who knows every street in Martin and St. Lucie County and probably the hardest working person alive, one of the better people alive. This girl is so honest. I mean, you couldn't make her lie if you tried. I mean, she knows her stuff, and she will tell you the truth no matter what. Which leads me to the newest member, which has also been a few years, which is Mr. Mike Paulus, which is a mortgage broker. And I got to tell you, I probably think in the last couple of years, what Mike has done for our group is tremendous, because there's been such a rampant amount of misknowledge about mortgages. And Mike set people straight quick. And one of the things that happens when I look at Mike, if you walk into your local bank and want to get a mortgage, they'll take an application, they may take a fee, and 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, they'll say yes, no, or maybe. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes over the phone. I mean, right now, where do you stand? So life is extremely good. Mike's just done a tremendous job for a whole bunch of our listeners. Tremendous job. 1-888-221-8990. And of course, we were talking a little bit about Christmas.
Yes.
And how much fun we had with grandkids.
We had a wonderful time. And with, he wore me out. But
the little ones are the most fun, Dave. You got little one? No, you got a daughter.
Not yet.
No?
Well, I have the daughter. She's 20. She's 30 now, so little ones should be on the way.
Good. Tell her hurry. Point. Hustle. You know, you're getting your...
I tried that once. It didn't work.
No, right. Now, it's the situation that I look at is Christmas is all about Jesus. We all know that. But it's also about family.
Yes. Yep.
And it's about sharing. And it's about giving. And when you've got a little one, it just embellishes the whole situation, because here's an innocent that's 100% transparent, and it was just the treat. It's
yes,
the treat of the holidays.
Absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. So you got Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. We got Dave sitting over here with a daughter in England. If you want to know something about London, he doesn't know it yet.
Not yet.
So tell me, is there anything happening exciting in the tax world that's new?
To be honest, there's a lot.
Ooh. Well, I guess that phone is alive today.
Yes, it is.
We got a caller. We're going to take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, my name is Rosa, and my question is, I have about $5,000 that I would like to invest, but I'm not too sure which way to go, where to invest and how to invest.
Well,
and also I have a question about the mortgage, about refinancing.
Well, let's do the mortgage one first. Talk to me about your question about a mortgage refinancing.
Okay. Right now, I would like to refinance my mortgage that I have, and so I'm not sure if I should go to a private mortgage lender, bank, or should I do that the HARP?
Well, here's what happens. Let's first of all say anybody that's credible in the business, they can do all the same thing. Every one of them can do the same thing, whether it's the HARP program, whether it's a reverse mortgage, a conventional mortgage, a VA mortgage, a USDA mortgage. So if you might have, if you listened to our show before, Rosa?
I have, but I always get like the end of it, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let me talk about Mike Paulus, who's a mortgage broker. A mortgage broker does the same thing as the bank. Everybody in the world does all the same thing. The only difference is with a guy like Mike, he will counsel you over the phone. You don't have to go sit in a bank, and you don't have to talk to somebody that doesn't have authority to tell you what to do. You don't have to fill out an application and wait 2 or 3 weeks to find out what the story is. Mike will tell you over the phone in about 15 minutes, and he will basically counsel you without you. Are you still there? Rosa?
Yes.
Okay. Without you.
Hello?
Yeah. I heard a bunch of static there for a second. Anyway, he'll counsel you over the phone, and he'll help you guide you so that you can make an intelligent decision. So after the show, we will give Mike your phone number and have him call you tomorrow or whatever and see if he can help you with that. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes. That's number one. Now let's talk about investing. Now, you're going to love this next question. How old are you?
58.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Children?
No.
Okay. So now we're 58, we have a husband, and you've got $5,000. What's your goal with this $5,000? What do you want to do with it?
Well, I would like to invest it where it can give me something in return. Well, and so...
here comes a question. Do you want to take that money and go buy a car with it next year? Do you want to just make interest on it? You don't know what you're going to do. You're saving it for your old age. I mean, give me.
I would like to make an interest, maybe gain something on it.
Okay.
As opposed to going to Marshalls or going to buy a car that's not going to give me anything in return. I would like to put it somewhere that's going to give me something in return.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Do you want to keep this money liquid, where in case you change your mind and you want to go to Marshall's next month or next year or 6 months from now, or do you want to save it for retirement?
Liquid would be fine.
Say again?
I said liquid would be fine. It can go either or.
Okay. Well, here, the reason I'm going is this. I'm going to talk about this on the show tonight, but I'm going to give you two different examples. One is long-term and one is short-term. Short-term investments, if you go to the bank, and the bank says, we'll give you a quarter of one or a half of one or a quarter of 1% in a savings account. They give you next to nothing, but it's 100% liquid. That means you can get it today and you can go get it tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
And I'm sure you probably already know that. You know, the banks are just not paying anything. Now,
Correct. Now
we can invest that. I'm a broker, and we can put it into what's called a debt instrument. A debt instrument is not common stock. A debt instrument is no different than I loan Vince money or I loan you money and you sign a promissory note, like a car note or a house note. These are debt instruments. And some big companies, including utilities, are paying 5 and 6, sometimes even 7% interest, and they're 100% liquid, meaning you can get into it today and you can get out of it tomorrow. However, you might think about this. Nobody works for free. So literally, in order to make it pay, you've got to look at least 6 months to be something that sounds like it's going to be palatable. A year makes it extremely palatable, but it is 100% liquid where you can cash it in tomorrow, get it today, cash it in tomorrow if you want to. Okay?
Okay.
So that's a debt instrument. Now let's talk about another instrument that's a little longer term. Now I'm putting Vince Rosino to sleep here because he's heard this before. David, would you wake him up? Don't let him fall asleep on me. Rosa. So,
yeah, Rosa, I've heard this before.
There's also the annuity. Okay. There's also the annuity contract. The annuity contract is a contract with an insurance company. And the insurance company, why do we have such a thing? Well, if we don't touch it, it's tax deferred, meaning we don't take any taxes. When we take it out, money out, it's ordinary income tax, no other kind. If we decide to die, there's no probate. It doesn't go through the courts. And last but not least, if you get sued, it can't be taken away from it. So now, that's the benefit of an annuity contract. Now, annuity contracts can pay a much better rate of interest than the bank, but they're designed to be held for a longer period of time, usually 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 years. And they're not, if you do want to cash them in, you pay a penalty. So you got to look at these different avenues. It's not easy to make a decision over the phone, but when I'm listening to you, when it comes to Marshalls and going down there, I want you to stay away from my girlfriend, by the way. If she knew you wanted to go to Marshall's, she would meet you there. You got a co-conspirator immediately.
I try to stay away from all these stores.
Hey, listen, that's the only way to keep from spending money in them. Unfortunately, now we have the internet and we can order stuff, you know.
Online is very big. Yeah.
Oh, big time. And getting bigger. Anyway, so the concept is this. When I look at people who are looking for short-term money and they want to earn 5 or 6%, they can at least make something decent on their investment. That's 100% liquid, so they can cash it in whenever they want. The debt instruments make sense. Now, let's go and talk a little more speculation. Because $5,000 one way or another doesn't make you rich or doesn't do much, but there's also pure stock. You can buy stock in companies. Sometimes you can win, sometimes you can lose. So what you have to, you got to wear the hat and say, how much, like this is an interesting. One of the listeners I have on from this show said, Joe, marijuana. And I said, what? He goes, it's been approved in 7 states. Medical marijuana is coming, and it's going to be a boom. Well, most people think it is. So he bought what's called a penny stock. Penny. Penny means they're cheap, 12 cents. In 2 weeks, it's gone up to 17 cents.
Whoa.
Now, percentage-wise.
That's huge.
That's a tremendous, like a 40% gain. So there's different things you can look at, and my job is to educate you, to give you some concepts so you can make an intelligent decision. Is this making sense?
Yes, it does. And I kind of like that one about that penny stock.
Well, now it's speculation now. It's high risk.
Yes.
What happens is some penny stocks, you lose all your money. But on the other hand, here's what, Kim, once you understand what you're doing, you can make a more intelligent, more educated decision. So what I try to do with everybody is teach, and then you are going to start to look at and ask questions, and the more information you have, the better the intelligent decision can be.
The key is diversification, okay, isn't it, Joe?
Well, that's another thing to do. But if you've got $5,000, it's hard to get diversified.
Well, she could do 3 or 4 different investments.
Yeah. But each time you do one, each one costs. So you start to shoot yourself in the foot. It's not easy. Also, here's another thing, Rosa, so you know. When you deal with a broker, a legitimate broker, which is securities licensed, you now have what's called a brokerage account. Once that account is open, you can buy and sell almost anything that is traded on any stock exchange, which gives you a lot of flexibility down the road as you get more and more educated. Where could she find somebody like that? Gee, I have no clue. You call 1-888-221-8990.
And you ask for Joe Martek.
And Joe Martek, he's an educator. Anyway, why don't we do this? I'm going to, you gave Pastor Tom your phone number. We'll get a hold of you, and I'll have Mike give you a buzz, the mortgage guy, and we'll talk, and let's see if we can fill that void and make you a happier person. Sound good?
Yes, it does. Now, do you have a website that I can go on as well?
Well, here's what you're going to have two. Now, isn't Mike called East Coast Mortgage?
Yes, East Coast Mortgage.
If you look up East Coast Mortgage, now if you go and I'm saying google.com, because I do this different ways. Go google.com and then just type in Joe Martek, M-A-R-T-E-K. I don't have a website, but there is a ton of information on there because we've been doing these radio shows, talking to people. There's YouTube videos. There's all kinds of stuff on there to give you some information.
Thank you very much for your help, and thank you so much for this information.
That's exactly my pleasure. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, Rosa. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you too. 1-888-221-8990. So Rosa's a good student. She called. That's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. The gold standard for financial advisors is the word you use 2 or 3 times, education.
Education. Very often I get people that get something. They don't have a clue what they've got. Attorneys very often can intimidate because they're an attorney. Sometimes if they've got a $20,000 rug and a $30,000 desk, you're afraid to ask a question, you know, because people, they intimidate by power, you know, by position power. My job is to educate people, let everybody know, hey, we're just regular people. I wear deck shoes like anybody else. I try not to wear socks if I can avoid it, you know. But point I'm trying to say is we're people.
Right.
And we just want to talk to people and guide them and counsel them the best we can. So there's no such thing as a, and how many times have we heard in our life, well, this may sound like a stupid question. I always feel like saying there's no such thing. You know, what happens, the word ignorance, people use that as a negative word, and it's not. It's a word that means I haven't learned it yet.
Being ignorant, lack of knowledge is what ignorance is.
That's all it is lack of knowledge. I haven't learned. You know, when I look at Vince, CPA, how many years did it take you to become a CPA? Lots.
Lots. I'll put it this way. I was in my late 20s when I became a CPA.
And then after you start practice, then you have to learn it all over again.
Well, yeah. Well, you start practicing. And eventually you get it right. And you start doing it for real.
Well, you know, everybody. But you know what I'm trying to say is sometimes you can get education and that gets you degrees or that gets you credentials.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you know anything. It knows you know how to pass tests and, right. and get credentialed.
Where now, I learned it was on the job, Joe. I had my certificate and really didn't know half of what I was supposed to know.
No, and you know.
And I learned it when I was working for a public accounting firm.
I remember that my father-in-law, God rest his soul, that he worked for Ford Motor Company and went through Ford Trade School, and he was, quote, an uneducated, undegreed engineer. Wow. But he was an engineer. But they did not offer a degree course, so he was whatever his title was. The frustration he had, and he was a very gentle man. He was a very gentle man. New engineers would come out of college, and he'd have to train them.
Oh, nice.
And he would do the training, but he's not an engineer. And these kids, within a short period of time, were making more money than him. But he was teaching them how to do the job because uh-huh. they had the credentials.
Right.
Well, back in the days, this Ford Trade School was a big deal.
Was it?
You know, that was a big, big, big deal. 1-888-221-8990. So our job is to educate people.
I think that's where we're falling down, Joe, as a nation, is that we don't have enough trade schools. We don't send people to trade schools.
That's true.
It's like everybody wants to be, you know, an MBA and go work on Wall Street and make you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of
dollars. And not show up for work often.
Yeah, right. And you know as well as I do, there's going to come a time when we're feeling it now.
Yeah.
Where you don't have enough electricians and plumbers and air conditioning people, and then the prices go up because they need to attract people in there.
As a nation, well, hey, has America made mistakes? Yes. Is it still the greatest nation on earth? Yes. And there's no doubt about it. And the process, here's three old guys.
Now speak for yourself.
Unfortunately, I'm the oldest one here, and I don't like that. But you know how we were raised? I don't know. Did you have the word allowance in your house?
No.
No?
I didn't get an allowance.
An allowance? No. Dave got it. I could tell he got it.
I got a 25 cents a week allowance.
Wow.
You got big money.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted a nickel, I was out pulling weeds, mowing the lawn, and then my dad was a milkman. He had me working on that truck when I could walk. You know, but it was called the work ethic. You learned to work to make money. So the work ethic. The government has come up with rules where your kids can't even work till they're 16 now. You know? Now look at Pastor Tom. He hasn't worked never mind that part.
He's still to go.
I had a big allowance.
He had a big allowance, right? One,
allowed me to mow the grass.
Allowed him to mow the grass, right? He can mow the grass, clean the toilet, clean the toilet.
You're still waiting for your working papers, right?
Your working papers, right? So the concept is to educate. So let's just do a little more education today.
Okay,
good. I got going today, and you might want to know this, Tom, because you're a good student. Not that I've given you a test to find out if your recollection or your memory is any good. It may not be. Do you know the difference between a mutual fund and an exchange-traded fund? Boy, do I get a deer in the headlights on that one. Dave, how about you? Do you know the difference?
I know even less than Pastor Tom does.
I feel this is education, folks. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about a mutual fund. A mutual fund, this is a generality now. Now, don't take it specific, but you've heard companies like Fidelity and Federated and American. There's more mutual funds than there are stock available. There's tons and tons of companies. Mutual fund company goes out and buys not literally 100, but let's say 100 different stocks. Let's say they put $1 million into each one. They buy $100 million worth of stock, and they put it into one great big pie, a fund. And then Pastor Tom comes along and says, hey, I'm big money. I'm a pastor. So I got $7. No, I've got $10,000 and I want a piece of all of those 100 pieces of stock. They say, fine, we will slice you a little sliver out of that whole pie. And you now own fractionally 100 companies. What's the benefit? Well, if one goes bad, you got 99 that may not. So you're called diversified. You're spreading your risk out over 100 companies. Have you heard of the Standard & Poor's 500? That's 500 of America's blue chips. The Dow is 30 of America's biggest companies. The NASDAQ is 3,000 some odd companies. And there's all kinds of different indexes out there. But the mutual fund can be what is called a large cap, which assumes large means big companies, small cap, smaller companies, mid cap, mid-sized companies, value. That's a word I never think that anybody knows if it makes any difference. They think these are better values. Growth means they think these companies are going to grow. So they've got all of these different labels on these, quote, mutual funds. And we come in there with our piece of money and we want a little sliver. And then we do. And then we get a statement every so often. And if it grows, it makes money. Market goes up, we're happy. Market goes down, we lose money, we're not happy. So you're in the market, but you're diversified. Got it? Now, let's talk about negatives in a mutual fund. Negatives. You call your broker at 10 o'clock in the morning and you've got a mutual fund with $10,000 in it and you tell your broker at 10 o'clock in the morning, Charlie, sell it. I want to sell my whole mutual fund. Charlie says, no problem. It won't sell until 4 o'clock today. The rules of a mutual fund, they don't trade, buy or sell until close of business each day, which is 4 o'clock. The market closes at four. And when it closes at four, the market had to be open that day. So if it's a holiday, it's not open at all. You can't buy or sell on that day. But you can only buy or sell at the close of business every day. Now, is that good or bad? Well, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning, the shares were worth 10 bucks a piece. And you've got $10,000 at 10 bucks a piece, right? You want to sell and get your 10 bucks a piece, divide it into that $10,000 and give me my check. During the course of the day, the shares go down to $9. You just lost 10% because you couldn't sell it at 10 o'clock in the morning. You had to wait till 4 o'clock. On the other hand, if they went up and it sold, you'd have made more profit. You have no control. So very often, a more sophisticated investor, more sophisticated, he won't even think about buying or selling until around 3 or 3:30 because he knows pretty close to what the price is going to be per share that particular day. That doesn't mean you're going to be right. I'm just giving you parameters, okay? Let me give you another thing that's very exciting with a mutual fund. You go back to your broker, Charlie. It's November. And you buy $10,000 worth of XYZ mutual fund, and you buy it for $10,000 worth, and all of a sudden, the end of the year comes, and your $10,000 went down to $9,000 because the market took a dip. Now, you just lost $1,000 on paper, but, you know, if you cashed it in, you'd lose that $1,000. And then in January, you get a 1099 that says you made money and you owe tax. You say, wait a minute. I put in 10, I'm now worth 9, and now I've got to pay tax? That sure adds up in your head, right? Makes no sense whatsoever. But let me tell you what happened. The mutual fund company, remember they got $100 million worth of that stuff? They bought some of this stock 10 years ago. And in December, they sold some of it, and you own a piece of this whole pie. So you have guilt by association. That means if they paid $1 a share and they sold it for $9 a share, you now have a profit on whatever you got into. So you literally can have a market value go down and you can have a taxable consequence on this mutual fund. Got it? Mm-hmm. Makes no sense?
It makes plenty of sense because you're helping to fund the guy that got in early.
You're helping to fund the guy that got in early, and that's how I like.
What are you suggesting? What are you suggesting?
Now let's understand. Now wait a minute. Now let's switch gears. That's the mutual fund. ETFs just started a few years ago, and they're exchange traded funds. Exchange traded. What's the difference? Same company. They go out and buy $100 million worth of stock. They put it into this ETF. You call up at 10 o'clock in the morning. And say, Charlie, I want to buy XYZ mutual fund. here's my $10,000. Charlie says, okay, it's bought instantly. 10:30, you call up and say, Charlie, I changed my mind. I want you to sell it. You can sell it instantly. They're exchange traded. So you don't have to wait till 4 o'clock. So there's a positive, not that it's critical, but there's a positive. But here's the big one. Back to the scenario, we buy it in November and we go down in value. In January, we get a tax thing that says we owe money because we're a part of the pie. The exchange traded fund, you stand on your own. You don't have to take the gains or losses of the whole pie. Yours are yours. So you don't have a tax consequence unless you physically did something with yours. So the ETFs are starting to really make a big dent in the mutual fund business. 1-888-221-8990. Now, this is education time.
Absolutely.
That's excellent.
Okay. Now, am I making sense, though, Dave?
Oh, yes, sir. What you said about the exchange traded as opposed to the mutual funds makes a great deal of sense.
Okay. See, what happened, I try not to use industry words because you know how people talk words that nobody understands because they're particular to their industry. I tell you not to use those. So when I educate, I try to make sure people understand what I'm talking about. So I'm glad you really didn't know much about it because that makes it easier for me to see if I'm getting through, even though you are an old guy and it's hard to get through.
I used to think the Standard & Poor's 500 was a NASCAR event. So you helped me out greatly there.
That was good. And the Dow was a really short NASCAR event, right? Go, only right. 30, right?
You thought it was a chemical company.
There you go. It is.
It's also a kind of a boat if you spell it differently.
Yes.
I like that. Scow Dow. Dow Scow? Wow. 1-888-221-8990. And we got another call. We'll take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, my husband and I, we own our home. We're still paying mortgage, but we're on the upside. Our house has doubled in value, and we were wondering if we should sell, pay off our debt, which is about $60,000 in debt, and just start brand new.
Good question. And boy, there's not an easy answer to that one, because let's take that house. Do you like your house?
We like the house, but we wouldn't mind getting a bigger land space so we could start planting our food and, you know, doing stuff with the yard.
Okay. So what happens is, if you see, one of the problems with selling a house when the market's up, that means you go buy another one and the market's up. So it isn't necessarily that you put a profit in your pocket, even though if you've got a lot of equity, you can keep some of the cash. You don't have to use it all. And the second part of the equation is interest rates are still low, but they're not going down. At this point, they're starting to go up, and they're expected to go up more, especially next year. As the economy improves, interest rates will continue to go up. So if I was listening to you and you're thinking about doing this, I would be in somewhat of a hurry to find out exactly what you can and cannot qualify for. So here's the steps I would normally go for. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. He will call you on the phone, talk to you, he'll ask you questions, and he'll qualify you on the phone for what you can afford, and that way you now can go shop and buy something that fits your budget. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So if you agree, what I'll do, I'll give Mike your number, and he can call you and counsel you over the telephone and find out what you can and cannot do, and then you and your husband can make a more intelligent decision. Make sense?
Say, caller, how long have you been living in the house, caller?
9 years.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, it should be good.
So, you probably bought it before the debacle went up too high, and then it went up, and then it went down, and now it's come back up again, so you've got some good equity. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So you left your name with Pastor Tom and your phone number, right?
Yes, I did.
Mike Paulus, I'll pass it on to him, and he will call you and counsel you, and hopefully you can be in that new house, and you can be growing vegetables, and you'll feel guilty, and you'll give me some.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990. Yeah, speaking of vegetables and stuff, you see this guy over here, city kid? I mean, New York City? I mean, concrete jungle? He's moving to the country.
No, I'm not.
They're going to get chickens.
No, I'm not.
You changed your mind?
We're working on some things.
Oh, Oh, you're trying to move into a high rise now.
That's right.
I mean, you ever? Are you a country kid, Dave?
I was a suburban kid all my life. So
you ever had animals like chickens and?
I had a chameleon once.
Chameleon,
a little lizard.
But that lizard, that's about it. Yeah. So you're pretty much a city kid.
Pretty much a city kid. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so we're talking about exchange-traded funds. I like exchange-traded funds. Now, most of these things are not designed to be in today and out tomorrow. You know, they're really designed for a longer term. I personally like a lot the Standard & Poor's 500. It's 500 blue chips. It's averaged 8 to 10% a year now for the last 20 or 30 years, so that's a pretty good growth rate. But I also like the NASDAQ 100, the top 100 stocks, which includes most of the big techies like Facebook and Netflix and and they've done even better. So what I say when I diversify people and I go into both, now we're going to be in like 600 companies, and that's extremely diversified, and you're going to look at hopefully a decent growth over a period of time. Now, again, any one day can be up or down, any one month. Like right now, the market's up pretty high. And there's
too high.
Yep. And there's a lot of speculation that right after the first of the year, which is next week, the market's going to come down pretty dramatically because people are expecting the tax code to change. And a lot of these very sophisticated investors are waiting to sell next year, literally the calendar year, so that they don't have to file taxes for another 16 months from January. So they can speculate a bit. And there's a lot of people that do. So if I was jumping into the market right now, especially with any kind of stock or in a mutual fund or those, I'd be looking at after the first of the year pretty strongly, unless you've got a long-term window, like 10 years, 20 years, then it's really, you're going to ride that roller coaster, and it's real hard to time it perfectly.
Nobody's a good market timer, Joe.
If they are.
That I know of.
The ones that are good market timers don't teach. They do nothing. They sit home in their boxer shorts and don't tell anybody anything because they don't have to, because they're geniuses. You know, you ever heard the old saying, those that can't teach?
Yeah. No. It goes, Joe, those that can do.
And those that can't teach. Right. Wait, I often see these commercials on TV. Guy says, I made 360% in the market. Get my free book. Right? Only pay shipping and handling. $19.95 million
selling
selling these books. No wonder he made so much money.
Selling books.
Another guy says, flipping houses. Man, I made $10 million flipping houses. I'll show you how to do it free. You know what I'm trying to say?
Was sort of the knock on Trump, you know, with his Trump University. People were complaining that, you know, they thought they were going to get him. He was going to teach the course and going to teach them what he did so that they could do the same thing.
But you know what happens?
Crazy ridiculous is that?
Well, but people do it all the time. They're always looking for an easy way to make a fortune. They figure that everybody that's made a fortune only was lucky. They didn't have a brain in their head,
right?
Which is not true. You know, you take some of the most successful entrepreneurs. They worked real hard. They had a better mousetrap. And there's a kid on the other coast that has a air conditioning company. Young guy. Became one of the biggest companies in the whole state, customer service. He hired people that were all in the hospitality industry that were used to talking to people and being nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
Was his main thrust. Then he taught them the business, but his thrust was customer service. Home Depot, if you talk to the guys that started Home Depot, they said, yeah, we have good prices, but that's not why people come to us. We have customer service. That's what we preach and teach, and we better, if they don't do it right, we let them go. Now, we all know nobody's perfect. People make mistakes. But the key is, how do you do a better mousetrap?
They ought to teach that to some of our major insurance carriers.
No kidding.
Because I had an ordeal this morning, the hour and a half, just to find out where a payment went.
Yeah, well, that's what you have figured out women,
four
right?
Different departments.
You have figured out women?
No.
Okay, good. See, logic does not work with women and insurance companies.
It's not even a matter of logic.
Not even a matter
it's
of logic.
It's about customer service.
Customer
and
no service.
Lack of service.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing, isn't it?
Nobody seems to know anything, Joe.
Well,
you know, I say, well, you know, well, I see your payment. Well, then why isn't it applied to the invoice? I don't know. That's not me. I got to put you to member services. You go to member services. What is this? I said, I told them I need to just know why my payment wasn't applied, and they gave back to me, oh, you're in the wrong place. You're in the group benefits area. Well, she says, is this a group policy? No, it's an individual. Okay, then we're going to send you over to this other person. I get on the phone with the other person.
I will tell you.
They put me on hold, sends me back to the group area.
No, I like the ones that hang up on you. They get tired of you, and now you got to start over again.
I had that with the IRS a couple of times.
1-888-221-8990. Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, Financial Advisor. Any questions you have? We got answers, or at least we hope we do, that we can help educate you. Let me talk one more subject.
Uh-oh.
One more subject.
We have time for that.
We got at least 13 minutes.
At least.
Variable annuity. Variable annuity.
Is variable like the weather?
Yeah. It's very close. That's a good analogy. Here's what happens. An annuity is a contract with an insurance company. Number one, it's tax deferred unless you take money out. When you take money out, it's ordinary income tax, no other form. You die, there's no probate, doesn't go through the courts. And last but not least, if you get sued, can't be taken away from you. So that's the reason you have it. Now, a variable annuity, figure there's a left hand and a right hand. The left hand is you're in the market. You're in funds that look like these ETFs or these mutual funds that are subject to the market that go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all want them to go up, but guess what? Sometimes we're scared, and especially if we're not too young and we're getting close to the end of our working career, we're even more scared because we're afraid because we're not going to keep working until we're 100 years old. So you're in the market, in these funds, and the funds can go up and down with the market. The insurance company comes over on the other side, and I'm not saying all companies, and by the way, I'm supposed to say this to make my compliance people happy. You have to be concerned about which company you're dealing with, about their claims paying ability. So you want to deal with companies that are admitted to do business in the state of Florida and, in my opinion, the highest rated companies, household names, picture the best company.
Well, it always comes down to that, doesn't it, Joe?
It should.
Because you're relying particularly, long-term care insurance is the perfect example.
Yeah, yeah.
People buying in their 40s and 50s, and they say, well, when are you going to expect to use this? What, my 70s and 80s? Well, how do you know at 40 or 50 years from now that company is going to be around to pay you that benefit?
However, if you have the state and it's an admitted carrier, you have the protection of the state. So that's critical with how the company is rated and is an admitted carrier.
That's important for the consumer to know that.
For the consumer. Very good. So now, left side, remember, I'm in the market. I'm in these funds. Right side, the insurance company oftentimes says, here's what we'll do. You put in $100,000, you can do less, you can do $10,000, pick a number, but I'm going to use $100,000 as math, easy math. We're going to give you a 5% on income on that for the rest of your life. That means $5,000 a year.
Okay.
Okay.
Good math, you passed.
Get it every month, we're all set. Now, in the market side, the market goes up and down, but in the course of a whole year, a lot of these insurance companies says, here's what we'll do. We will look back in that whole year, and if the market went up, we will then reset what you're going to get paid next year. So let's just take an example. It went up from 100 to 110. So next year, you're going to get 5% on $110,000 or $5,500. Now, you're feeling pretty good. Life is good. I'm retired. I'm collecting more money than I would be. Not getting on it in a lot more than I'm in the bank. But then the next year, the market goes down. We have a crash. And it goes down to $50,000. Very often these insurance companies come up and say, okay, fine, we will keep you at that $110,000 level. You keep drawing for the rest of your life or until the market goes up higher again and we can reset it higher. They never reset it lower. They always reset it higher. So the concept of it is the insurance companies coming over here saying, hey, we're going to put together investment with insurance. So we're going to insure this investment to make sure that you never run out of money for the rest of your life and your income can't go down, it can go up. Then they also add a wrinkle oftentimes and say, hey, what we're going to do in case you decide to die when the market's down, we're going to put a 5% death benefit, sometimes more. So let's just say I put this $100,000 in and I don't take any money out for 2 years and the market never goes up, but it's got a 5% growth death benefit. 2 years later, I've got $110,000. I decide to die. The market's down to 80 or 90. My wife gets 110.
She's, you decided to die?
She's, well, she pushed you down the stairs because she wants that 110.
I thought only the good Lord knows that answer.
Well, I'm just telling you, if you got too much money, don't stand in front of your wife on the stairs. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that the insurance company is going to come over here and say, hey, here's what we're designed to do. We, the insurance company, are going to want you to win. We want you to win, but we're going to protect you just in case. That's what the insurance does. Now, negative. Insurance companies don't work for free. Can you imagine that?
No.
Working for free?
Can't imagine them working for free.
And people say, well, what do they make, Joe? I say, well, I can't give you exactly because you have to look at each individual person and each individual company, but let me give you a ballpark. They roughly make 3% a year. Now, here comes this $100,000. It goes up to 110. Well, you may only see 107 because they're going to take their 3% out of that side over there. They never take it out of your income or the death benefit. They take it out of the market side. So they're taking the risk to protect you no matter what and your family. But on the other hand, they want you to make money too. So they're kind of hoping and praying that the market works over a long period of time, which it normally does. So understand this. This is not short-term stuff. This is normally designed for long-term. Long-term means 7, 8, 10, 20 years, because they also do another thing. When you go start with one of these contracts, all your money goes to work for you the first day. They charge you no money for commissions or fees or expenses. So what they want you to stick
around. How do the brokers get paid, Joe?
Huh?
How do the brokers and representatives
get paid? Insurance company pays them.
So they're out of pocket.
They're out of pocket. So the insurance company goes out of pocket big time for the first few years. So normally they charge penalties starting
if you
off
get out.
For like 7 or 8 years, and the penalties go away slowly during that 7 or 8 year period of time. Now, hey, no kidding. Insurance companies have to make money. Nobody works for free, and they're going to offer their protection.
They're very profitable.
Well, of course they are. Hey,
and you know how they make most of their money?
How?
Underwriting.
No kidding. Now, he's getting specific now and getting scary because now we're using four syllable words.
Gotta watch out.
We gotta watch out.
I'm trying to catch up myself.
So. The key what we're trying to say is that very often this variable annuity, when I was talking to Rosa earlier about long term, short term, mm-hmm. Well, she's not a good candidate for that $5,000 because you're looking at normally a 10-year window that makes sense, that I'm looking for long term protection where I wanna have income when I retire.
But don't you have like suitability requirements? Why don't you explain to the audience what suitability means? Because,
well, if you're a CPA, you're not suitable.
Oh, okay. That's good. But there's certain investments you couldn't recommend ethically to clients.
What happens is this: you have to look at each individual person, what's their goal, also their level of sophistication.
Right.
Remember I was talking about that marijuana stock, the penny stock?
Mm-hmm.
Penny stocks are high risk. I mean, get ready to lose your money. And you're going to sign a document that says, I'm willing to lose my money.
Right.
Because you can't get into it unless. So that's one document. There are other types of investments that you have to be what's called an accredited investor. What's that mean? You have to have a net worth of $1 million or $250,000 a year worth of income. There's all kinds of different investments.
Oh.
Normally, I stay away from what I'm going to call the ones that need accredited. I like things that I can buy today, sell tomorrow, or buy today and sell today. I like things that are traded. And when I talk to a person and educate them, if they're a sophisticated investor, they know everything that's going on, hey, life is simple. We don't need to spend a lot of time educating. On the other hand, very often, even a sophisticated investor might be limited to certain areas of expertise. So there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. Remember this, there's about 30,000 different investments out there. Mm. So certain areas that I've been leaning on, as we talked earlier, like mutual funds, I can explain those. Exchange traded funds, I can explain those. Exchange traded debt, I can explain that. The annuity contracts, all kinds of different ones, I can explain. Different folks fit. There's an old saying in business, you know, there's a butt for every saddle. If it fits you, you're happy. You want to make sure that what you get is what your goal is. You don't want to be talked into something that doesn't fit.
Absolutely.
We're winding down, Vince. It's almost New Year's.
I'm surprised you've been able to carry on this long.
Yeah, that I'm still alive, you mean?
You'd be out of breath by now.
I'm trying to keep you awake.
It's very tough.
I know. You know, these grandkids wore you right out.
No, I know this material, so.
That's another problem.
Yeah.
See, one thing happens with CPAs. Uh-oh.
Oh, nice hat.
You know, way to go, Pastor Tom.
Bar Harbor,
Maine. Bar Harbor. Ooh. Nice. So who gave you the Bar Harbor hat?
My buddy.
Your buddy? You ever been to Bar?
Yeah,
you ever
been up there?
You ever been there? Bar Harbor, Maine?
I've been there.
I have.
Pretty place, yeah. Had lobster up there.
Actually, it's kind of cold.
Especially this time of year.
Especially this time, you'd be freezing your giggy off. I'm telling you what. That's it. So what? Are we really down to 3 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Two minutes now.
Wait a minute.
It's not two.
You're hiding the two. You got to be careful. Tom,
I can't show you the two.
You can't show me the two.
No. Not ready.
That's deception. You know, you got to. Tom likes doing that. He likes. Okay. Whoa. By the way, Joe, you've been. He'll wait until we've been on the radio for 2 minutes to tell me we're on the radio. You know, so we can go.
I will show no time before it's time.
No time before it's time. Right. That is a part of a saying that goes with something, doesn't it?
Used to be an old wine commercial. Remember Orson Welles? We will sell.
I remember Orson
Welles.
Before it's time. I remember that. Yeah.
All right, class. You don't have to call anymore. If you do,
then they'll take.
We're not going to take it. Good. But Tom, Pastor Tom, you see, first we have a good guy here in Dave because he really is sharp, whereas Pastor Tom's getting slow. So you got to be. If you get Dave, he'll take your name and number, and we will get back with you and call you and answer your questions. Thank you, Rosa, for your call, and that other lady, thank you for yours. You know, hey, we're here to help and here to educate. Tom, have we educated you at all? No.
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember. 1-888-221-8990. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for 2016. Thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us and our group. Thank you for keeping Pastor Tom Nasty and me. And now I forget that part.
Erase that from the record.
Erase that part. I want to thank everybody for listening to us, and I want to thank everybody for what we've had this year. And for
absolutely.
And we've been very fortunate to have been able to help quite a few people, and that makes me feel real good.
Amen to that.
1-888-221-8990. And Dave, how much time do we have now?
We have a little over 1 minute. I'm about to flash you the 1 minute sign.
Well, maybe this caller.
We might have time for one call.
It's
getting tight.
It's tough. A real simple answer.
You never know. We'll find Pastor Tom screening it right now. So we will find out in a second. He's going to screen a couple of them.
There's another call coming in.
Remember that phone number, folks, and you can call it any time during the week, and they'll take your name and number, and we'll get back with you. Any one of the group, whether it's mortgages, insurance, legal matters, tax matters, investments. What other subjects do we have? Mortgages, real estate,
insurance. Don't forget Mr. Dan Warren.
We got everybody. All right.
Almost.
We got 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Hey, listen. Are you showing me your fingers? Countdown?
I'm going to give you the 15 seconds.
Okay, right 15. Now. Hey, Vince.
Yes.
We made it through another year.
Yes, congratulations, Joe. And happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year
to
you and all of us.
Thank you for all you do for the listeners.
Yeah. And even, hey, thank you for Pastor Tom. Until next week. Goodbye.
God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.